Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This week I'm coming at you live from WWDC in San Francisco. This is show number 54. All right, so I just got out of the WWDC keynote, and as expected, it was an excellent show with a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, and I figured I'd do a show sort of right now. Just, you know, I'm recording at 12:45. I just had a quick lunch. Here I am to talk about, you know, what they talked about, what it means, and kind of my initial reactions, and I think it's probably good to do that now before we start to get into the actual NDA stuff that they're going to talk about later. So it allows me to kind of just speak freely without having to worry about anything else, because everything I know is public knowledge at this point. So first, kind of what I thought would be interesting to say is you kind of try and, you know, Apple is clearly very intentional about what they say at a keynote. And you kind of, what I always think is interesting is to try and understand what is the message they're trying to get across. What is the, you know, if they had a theme statement, you know, if you go back to like, you know, middle school English, you're writing a paper, you want to have a theme statement. What is Apple's theme? And I think Apple's theme this year is we make the best products in ways that no one else can even come close to us. But more importantly, we make the best products for the best reasons. And you can see this in the emphasis they gave both in the introductory video as well as, you know, all throughout the presentation about them doing things that are bettering mankind. And that's a little bit of marketing, and that's a little bit of kind of showmanship, but I think it's also kind of indicative of Apple having arrived at a point where they are not just making new products. Like, they are so far ahead in terms of product development of almost all of their peers or competitors that they're kind of getting into the next level. It's kind of like if you have Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like they're totally sorted out all of the basic levels, and now they're just kind of getting to a point that they're just trying to make awesome things more awesome, and they can start addressing kind of meta concerns and problems and making, you know, apps for the blind or the autistic or all these things that aren't even on the radar for someone else who's still trying to deal with the basics. And I think that's, you know, that's where Apple is these days. They've crossed over from the basic concerns into dealing with some of the more fundamental and, you know, sort of impactful aspects of technology, which is awesome. And so the next I was going to talk about, you know, sort of, okay, so what was the show about? We had a refresh to their laptop line, we had Mountain Lion, and we had iOS 6. There was no big surprise necessarily in terms of, you know, one more thing or anything like that, which I think is kind of expected at this point. It would surprise me if they actually did another kind of like a one more thing or something like that where, that was kind of Steve's thing. And so it didn't surprise me that this year it's kind of like that was just the show, and when it was over, it was over. So the laptop refresh, the first, you know, two-thirds of that, fairly mundane, straightforward. They took the current line of MacBook Airs and MacBook Pros and just made them a little bit better. You know, they put Ivy Bridge in and USB 3, dropped the price on the MacBook Airs a little bit, which is nice. I think it's especially emphasized going after education, especially as we head towards kind of the college season and back to school in terms of, you know, schools are wrapping up, kids are starting to go to college. I think they really are trying to put a MacBook Air in every college student's backpack this fall. And then, of course, you know, there's sort of the big unveil of like, hey, we have our first Retina Mac. And it's, you know, a 15-inch MacBook Pro that is thin, not quite as thin as an Air, but thin all the same, and has many of the benefits of a MacBook Pro in a form factor that's more like a MacBook Air, and of course it has a Retina screen. And at a pretty competitive price, it starts at $2,200, which I would say surprised me. I think it speaks to the power of their supply chain. When you compare that to some of the prices of the other MacBook Pros, it's not that much more, if anything, but it's a much more powerful machine. And I mean, it's doing things that are just kind of unheard of. So if I pull up the spec sheet for the MacBook Pros, you know, you can see that it is just so much more powerful, and I mean, a Retina screen is just totally crazy in many ways. But the cost is not that sort of out of reach for a lot of people. You know, the MacBook Pro starts at $1,800, and then this new Retina one goes to $2,200. You know, so it's kind of like, why would you, for that $400, you get an amazing machine with a gorgeous display, similar battery life, similar in many ways, but you know, it's only $400 more. That's quite something, and it's definitely an impressive thing that they did. I wish they had done more than just a Retina MacBook Pro, though, because this is just for me personally, but I work primarily at my office. I want big screens. I mean, it's nice, and I'm sort of tempted to buy it, if only just because it's awesome, but I have no real practical use for it, and I doubt I'll get one, because that's just too small for the kind of things that I do. I have two 27-inch displays, and fair enough, you know, a Retina display actually has more pixels than a 27-inch Cinema display, but, I was a little disappointed by that. And of course, as I've talked about on the show, I really want a new Mac Pro, and Mac Pro didn't get updated, which makes me sad. So that's kind of sort of where we are on the new MacBook Pros, and you can just kind of see that I think it's going to sell great, and I think you'll see in Apple stores all over the country, you're going to have these great they're going to be front and center. You walk in the door, you're going to see those displays, and they are just going to sell them like they are hotcakes, because it's a screen technology that like no one's ever seen, and so you'll see it and you'll be like, wow, that's gorgeous. And these great demos with HD video and gorgeous pictures, and it's a beautiful display, and I'm, more power to them. I really hope they at some point do a Retina, Thunderbolt display and a update to the Mac Pro. We'll see. I was a little disappointed, but not too bad. So next, they jumped over into Mountain Lion. And so Mountain Lion was not too, there weren't that many new technologies or things that they talked about. I think the new really previously unannounced stuff was dictation. The kind of going after something like Dragon Speech or something like that, which I think it's nice. I think I'll look forward and enjoy using that. Not that often, but I think for a couple of small cases where it could be really helpful to be able to not have, rest my arms and do that. But it's certainly not going to be sitting in Xcode dictating, comments or anything. And I think Facebook integration was new, which is, great and interesting, but, ultimately not that significant. A few minor updates to Notification Center. And then probably the most significant part is that they gave it a date, so it's going to ship in July. So, at worst, John Siracusa has 19 days or 20 days before he has to launch his review, and at best he has about 52 days to go. So, it's definitely exciting. I think I'm looking forward to it. It's like 5 Live, the app I wrote for listening to the 5x5 Live shows, is already updated for the Retina screen, I've also updated it, or have an update ready for making it Notification Center compliant and all those types of things. And that's just kind of cool. I think Mountain Lion is a nice boost, and it is pretty wild when they can, the thing that seems kind of odd, actually, is that they made the price $20. And I almost wonder if this is the same problem that they had back in the day with the iPod Touches, where they couldn't give them software updates because of accounting problems or rules. Because it seems like $20 is a very strange amount of money for them to charge for it. And I say that because I think what he said is, it's like, I have to pull up the number, but, Lion has sold, millions of copies. I think it was 27 million copies. That's the number that sticks in my head. But whatever it was, it's in the tens of millions of copies. And, $30 a thing, fair enough. They made, a couple hundred million dollars, which, isn't anything to, to raise your nose at. But it's, in reality, and in the context of all of what Apple does, that's actually a relatively small amount of money. And it seems odd that they wouldn't just make it free. It just seems odd to me that it's like, okay, hey, yeah, it's awesome, it's $20. It's like, well, why don't you just make it free if it's making it $20? I feel like they would be better served in terms of driving everybody forward by making it free. But, that's their prerogative. They want to make that couple hundred million dollars, sort of at the expense of slightly slower adoption, then, that's fair enough. And then, which is sort of in contrast to where they started off talking about iOS 5 or iOS 6, and they started off talking about iOS 6 by talking about iOS 5 and how about 80% of users are on iOS 5, and that's very consistent. I've written many articles, if you follow my blog, about how quickly iOS 5 has taken off and then how over the updates have really driven ridiculously fast updates. Just from regular users, moms and pops and people who just, are just using their iPhone, they're updating at a tremendous pace. Part of that, of course, I think, is because it's free. know, in contrast to what I was just saying about Mountain Lion. And then also it's just a device that you're always using. You're constantly picking it up all day. So if it pops up and says, hey, there's something new for you, you're going to see that in a way that you may not necessarily be able to or sort of be interacting with it when you're on your phone, your Mac or PC. So that was interesting. And I think it's, you know, it's nice for the, I think they love just putting sticking their finger in Android's eye every time they can and talk about how, you know, the dairy product that Google shipped, you know, ice cream sandwich, is only at 7% in the same time it took them to get to 80 and all that. And it's like, okay, I've talked about that for a long time, but it's just, you know, at some point I wonder if Apple will stop doing that. And I guess maybe they'll only do it if the press stopped kind of presenting this as like an equal race of two equals, where in reality, I mean, they are so far ahead that there's part of me that almost kind of feels like, you know, it's Usain Bolt running against a third grader in a 100-meter dash. It's like at some point it almost becomes inappropriate and childish and looks kind of just mean. And so I kind of wonder at some point if they'll kind of back off of that kind of rhetoric. But at this point, I think they're just doing it because the press still talks about, oh, Android this, Android that. And they're like, well, that's not really that interesting. So then iOS 6, a few things popped out at me. It seems like the maps is new. There's the passbook stuff looks kind of cool and interesting. And as a user, I think that'll be cool. From the developer side, I didn't see that much that was like super cool and interesting. You know, built-in native pull to refresh was kind of cool. One thing that I did see on the slide that I think I'll talk about probably for the rest of the episode is I think they confirmed the 16 by 9 iPhone for the fall. And I'll say that because they included one line on one bullet on one of the slides that says auto layout. And if you're a Mac developer, you know exactly what they mean. So on the Mac, what they recently did, and I think this was in Lion was the first time they did it, they introduced a technology called Auto Layout, which allows you to dynamically organize views in your view hierarchy, and then they'll adjust as you resize the screen. So an example of this, or also when you localize it as well. So an example of this is you could say, I want this button to be in the bottom right corner of my app. Basically, you know, I want it to be 50 pixels from the right and 50 pixels from the bottom. And then you want to create another control and say, I want this one to be to the left of that control by so many pixels or center it this way. Or there's all kinds of different constraints that you can build. And those constraints then allow you to dynamically move the application size and its frame. And it'll adjust based on all those constraints to find sort of the best fit for all of them. Which allows you to do, you know, on the Mac it's great because obviously windows get resized all the time. On iOS, though, it is that technology doesn't make any sense unless you have multiple size screens of different, you know, so sort of with different amount of content in it. And I think that, more than anything else, is strong confirmation that we'll see a 16 by 9 or whatever. I mean, the 16 by 9 part is up for grabs, but I think we'll see a different physical sized iPhone screen this fall because auto layout would allow you to be very, very simply and very, very easily, rather than giving absolute locations to things, give relative bounds, and then everything moves around correctly as it's resized between the big screen and the small screen. So that's kind of one of those things, and I was like, I definitely wanted to say that on the show before I go into the session this afternoon, in case they give more information about that, which would indicate that in a way that I couldn't talk about because of NDA reasons, but I think that's a very, 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 very strong indication that that's what's coming. So anyway, that's kind of it for today's show. I think I'm going to do a bunch of episodes throughout the week and just kind of be walking through other parts of the keynote. I'm going to probably rewatch it tonight, go through it, look at all the screens, kind of pausing at different places, and then be able to hopefully give you a lot more of sort of depth into the keynote. If not, if that doesn't work, then maybe just, you know, I'll shorten that down, but hopefully I'll have some interesting things to share. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, and I always say that, you know, questions, comments, concerns, hit me up on Twitter, I'm _David Smith. But specifically this week, if you have questions or things that you're interested about, if you weren't able to get to WWDC and you're curious about things, I'll try as best I can to talk about it. I know a lot of this stuff's under NDA, but I'll do my best. And otherwise, you can always follow the show on Dev Perspective. Hope you enjoyed the keynote, and I will talk to you later. Happy coding.